Turn with me, if you would now, to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. I want to look back at this chapter one more time today. And for our text, let's read verses 38 to 41. Matthew 12, verse 38. It says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, 'Master, we would see a sign from thee.' But he answered and said unto them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, greater than Jonah is here.'" Unless the Lord's providence for us postpones our move, this will be the last time that we observe the Lord's table together in this building. And I want us to leave this building as we make our preparations and make our move. I want us to leave this building on this declaration and this hope. Salvation is of the Lord. After Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in an impossible place. That was an impossible place. A place that with man is absolutely impossible. A place where man can do nothing. Jonah couldn't do anything. For 3 days and 3 nights, Jonah couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything to save himself. He laid there as a dead man. For 3 days and 3 nights, Jonah was taught the sovereign power of the Lord. He was taught the sovereign will of the Lord. You know, Jonah said, "I'll have my own will." He was taught the sovereign will of the Lord. He was taught the sovereign right of the Lord. In those 3 days and 3 nights, it was not Jonah's will, it was God's will. It was not Jonah's doing, it was God's doing. And on the third day, when God miraculously delivered him and brought him out of that horrible pit, brought him out of a place of death to a place of life, after God revealed his doings to Jonah, his power, his might, his authority, his will, this is what Jonah said. Jonah is the one who said, "Salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord." What a fool I was to reply against God. Jonah said, "I bow and I acknowledge and I give thanks for the fact that salvation is of the Lord." That was his message to Nineveh. "I bow. I now bow. I declare. I give thanks. Oh, how thankful I am for what he delivered me out of. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord." He went all through Nineveh crying, "Salvation is of the Lord." And they believed him. God gave faith. And they repented. Salvation is not of me. Salvation is not of my work. Salvation is not of all these things that this flesh has to do and not do and touch and not touch. And Salvation's of the Lord. That's repentance. Salvation's of the Lord. My salvation, your salvation, all salvation is of the Lord. That is the declaration of Scripture. That's the declaration of the gospel. And that is the declaration of all of God's people. All of them say, salvation is of the Lord. All of them. Now, Jonah is not the only one who said that. I want us to read a few locations in the Scripture where it tells us at the mouth of two or three witnesses, salvation is of the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus 14. Exodus 14, verse 8 says, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." That's what he told them. Salvation's of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again, no more, forever. They were hemmed in, just like Jonah was. Jonah was hemmed in, and they were hemmed in. And the message of the Lord to them was, stand still. Don't take action. That's a good way to phrase it to people in religion. What must I do? What must I do? Don't take action. Don't take any action. Don't try to save yourself. But just in case, shouldn't I do this? Just in case, don't try to save yourself. Don't even engage in the fight. As if the fight comes, don't even engage in the fight. Verse 14 says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." That's the cross of Calvary. That's what God said to all of his people. When the enemy comes, when the judgment comes, when that great battle comes, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord will fight the battle, and he will give you peace. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. Turn with me over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I absolutely love this story. 2 Chronicles 20. While you're turning there, I'll tell you that three countries, Ammon, Moab, and Seir, Mount Seir, All three of these countries decided to join together to go to war against Israel, Judah specifically. And the king of Judah heard about it, and it struck absolute fear into him. And he sent out a proclamation to all of Judah to fast and to call on the Lord for help. He heard, they're coming. Three countries are coming against you. They're coming right now. They're coming quickly. And he told everybody, fast, that means deny yourself and call on the Lord for help. Cry out for help. Look at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 4. It says, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And that's what we're doing. We've all gathered ourselves together to ask help of the Lord. Help us. Help us. They all came together. Look at verse 13. It says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. They all came together. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. He said, listen, this is the word of the Lord. Listen. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And I can't leave this without reading it to you. Let me read this to you. He said, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And that was said at the cross of Calvary. He was with us. We were with him. And that'll be said as we leave this world and go out into eternity. The Lord will be with you. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They were so happy to hear salvation was going to be of the Lord. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. King Jehoshaphat decided to put all the musicians on the front line. Soldiers in the back. The Lord said, you're not going to need to fight in this battle. It's not your battle, it's the Lord. So Jehoshaphat said, all the musicians go to the front. And as we march in, we're going to start singing, praise the Lord. Verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Is that not beautiful? Is that not beautiful? I mean, that's the gospel. They were crying, thank God, thank God. The battle was the Lord's. Thank God. All we need to do is sing praise. That's all we need to do. Just sing praise. I can see these soldiers going back home, you know, and all the people asking them, what did you do? They heard, 3 countries are coming up against us. What did you do out there when that battle came to you? What did you do? They said, nothing. We didn't do anything. Our salvation was of the Lord. Of the Lord. You know, people say, well, now you have to do your part. If somebody would have said that to them, well, now you had to do your part, they would have said, no, we didn't. Salvation was of the Lord. Totally. Turn with me over to Psalm 3. Psalm 3, verse 1 says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Don't turn, but Psalm 37, verse 39 says, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Psalm 62:1 says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. This is our only hope before the judgment throne. This is it right here. It's that he purposed in his heart to save us. It's that God the Father from the beginning chose to save us. And God the Son came and accomplished that salvation. And God the Spirit is going to call us to himself. Our only hope of glory, start to finish, is that salvation is of the Lord. Now, Jonah realized this after his own deliverance. Jonah was delivered, and then he went out and cried this message, salvation's of the Lord. Jonah pictured the deliverance. He realized this after his deliverance, and he pictured the deliverance that God provided for all of his people in the person of his son. So turn with me, if you would, to Jonah chapter 1. Let me just show you this, and we'll be done. If your Bible's like mine, it's page 1149. Old Testament, 1149. Our God orchestrated, he designed salvation for his people. in the only way that salvation could be had for His people. Our Lord designed, it wasn't just the perfect salvation, it's the only way His people could have salvation. It was the only way that God's holiness would not be compromised, and God's justice would not be compromised. And one man said this. He made this statement. He said, if God had asked the angels, if God had called all the angels together and asked all the angels, how can I accomplish this? I'm going to create man, and he is going to rebel against me. He's going to sin against me. And I'm holy, and I must punish sin, and I'm going to punish that sin. My holiness, my justice, it demands it. But because of my love for a particular remnant of those people, I want to have mercy on them. I want to show mercy to them. I want to deliver them from the punishment that they are owed and has to come to them. And I want to reinstate them back into unity with God. Something so full of sin, so full of ruin. How can I do that? This man said that if the angels were asked by God, how can I do that? How can my law be kept? How can justice be upheld and mercy be shown? How can I be just and justify my people? He said, had that happened, those angels would still be sitting in silence, trying to ponder something that only God could design. And that's so. That is so. Only God could design and accomplish this salvation. Only with God was this possible. And God revealed to us how He did it right here in Jonah, right here in the book of Jonah, in the story of Jonah. We know that the Lord told Jonah to go to Nineveh, but he didn't. He got on a ship going to Tarshish. And because of that, the Lord sent a great storm to the point that that ship was going to sink. If you look at chapter 1, verse 7, Jonah 1, verse 7, it says, "And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. The entire foundation of our salvation is in this statement right here. And the lot fell on Christ. I mean, that's the whole foundation. All of our hope, all of our salvation is that the lot fell on Christ. God the Father laid the iniquity on Him. Laid all of the iniquity. Unlike Jonah, unlike me, unlike you, our Lord did not commit the iniquity. But the iniquity, the actual ownership and the guilt and the condemnation, all of it fell on Christ. Who could have ever imagined? Just think about this. See if the Lord will let you enter into this. Who could have ever imagined a salvation for us where the spotless God would take the place of a wretched people? Who could have imagined? Who could have ever imagined a salvation for us where the God who knew no sin would be made sin for us, would make it so that the lot of sin would fall on Himself? I'll take it to myself. So that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. Can you imagine any angel, had that scenario happened, can you imagine any angel would have designed a salvation where the holy God would trade places with His sinful people, trade standings before the judgment throne, where the judge would become the judged. Can you imagine anyone saying to the holy God, here's the design, the high and holy and spotless, almighty, all-powerful God is going to say in the place of his people, because that's what they are, I'm a worm. Isn't that amazing? The one who is the judge of all heaven and earth would become the judged. Stand there in the guilt of his people. Who could conceive a salvation like that but God Almighty himself? Who would have the humility but God Almighty himself? Only God, only the merciful, loving God would put himself into that position. So much so that the law acknowledged it. Yes, that sin is on him. The judgment acknowledged it. Yes, that sin is on him. The Father acknowledged it. Yes, that sin is on him. Who could imagine a salvation where God Almighty would say on behalf of his people, take me up and cast me in? That's what Jonah said. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. You take me up and you cast me in, and everything will be calm to you. My life for theirs. My life for theirs. In the Lord's doing of that, from the depths of his own judgment and the depths of his own death, the grave of death. Chapter 2, verse 2, he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Out of the depths of his separation from God, this is what he cried. He cried, this sacrifice I make unto thee, and I make it with thanksgiving. He said, I will pay what I vowed to pay. Salvation is of me. He said, I swore to save my people, and because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Salvation's of the Lord. And he saved him. He saved him. In his resurrection, as verse 10 pictures, Jonah being delivered from this fish. It says, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. With our Lord's resurrection from the depth of judgment, the declaration goes forth, is finished. It's finished. Salvation is accomplished, and it was all of the Lord. Every bit of it was of the Lord. The lot was laid on him, and in doing so, it broke his body, and it shed his blood. that lot that was cast onto him broke his body and shed his blood. And because of that, we are healed. Our Lord gave us that sign. He said, no sign's going to be given but what happened to Jonah. It's the only sign that's going to be given. He gave us that sign to declare it. And he gave us this ordinance to remember it. He said, in doing this, you're going to remember what I've done for you. And because of his mercy and his grace, God's people will never forget it. I am so thankful to know that all throughout eternity, even in our spotless, holy, sinless state, we will forever cry unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Thou art worthy because you were slain and you redeemed us back to God by your blood. Forever. We'll never forget it. We will never forget it. This ordinance is a reminder until we see him face to face. And thank God, in that blood we will see him. A greater than Jonah. A greater than Jonah. Let's remember him together in his table just one more time here.